to present this pilot project that was actually primarily done by my undergraduate students. I really want her to give her the credit. And also with our collaborators, Shannon Whaley, who's in the audience, has given us a lot of support. I'd like to disclose I have no relationship with any or any complex. Again, I'd like to thank especially our PHFB WIC staff for allowing us to actually work on this collaborative project with them. And specifically, I'd like to thank the Inglewood PHFB WIC clinic and their staff, Ronnie, who helped us tremendously with the recruitment process. And this this research was funded by an undergraduate research council grant. So I'd like to start off by just talking about the trends in terms of technology and how it has changed dramatically in the last few years. So this was a study that was conducted by the Pew Research Center, and they found that just even between 2011 and 2015, that there's a dramatic increase in terms of the number of U.S. adults who are using smartphones. So 2/3 of U.S. adults own a smartphone, and that's up from 35% in 2011. So just within a few years, you see dramatic change. Bensley and colleagues last year reported that 92% of WIC participants own a cell phone, and of those, 58% use smartphones. And then also the Pew Research Center found that 62% of smartphone owners are actually using their smartphones to access health information online. Now, looking at smartphone trends, definitely we see ownership being highest among young, educated, and high wage earners. However, socioeconomic status is also an important factor as well. Ownership and use is sizable among those who are lower income and among ethnic minorities. And a high degree of that population actually relies on smartphones as a way to access the internet. So they may not have broadband service, but they're accessing the internet using smartphones. And there's a higher dependence on the use of smartphones among lower income households, African Americans, Latinos, compared to whites. Now, the connecting point is that what we're beginning to see in terms of health, or the idea of mHealth, right, is that there's a growing body of literature suggesting that technology and the use of technology-based education programs can have a potentially positive impact in terms of impacting health. So one study by Hoppala back in 2009 found that mobile phone weight loss program was effective in terms of long and short-term weight loss. Another study by Wolford in 2010 found that tailored text messaging was found to be effective in terms of improving adherence among adolescents. And then yesterday there was a whole session on different kinds of text messaging opportunities in terms of research. And then nutrition education using electronic mail was found to improve total dietary intake and better regulation of self strategies in 2012. So basically, with the advances in technology, we wanted to look at the opportunity to pilot a project using and developing an app for nutrition education, which we have not found elsewhere. And so the purpose of this study was to develop and to test the feasibility of an app as a potential platform for delivering online nutrition education in the WIC program. So we had three different phases. First, we looked at usage data among participants in the WIC program who accessed online nutrition education. We looked at the development of the app, which was what took up most of the time, and then the preference of the app and the use of the app. Okay, so let me talk a little quickly about the WIC program. WIC is a federally funded nutrition program that supports young women, moms and young children up to the age of 5 who are low income and at nutritional risk. They serve over 8.6 million moms and children each month nationally. And PHFE WIC is the largest provider of WIC services in the U.S. They serve about 4% of the nation's total and 23% of California's total WIC participants. So they have over 50 centers in both LA and Orange counties, and they serve over 250 participants each month. Demographically, they serve over 80% Latino, 6 African American, 3% Caucasians, and then the rest. And I specifically chose to work with PHFA WIC just because of our long-term collaborative relationship. We've worked together for over 10 years, and they're a wonderful research partner. So the study process is as follows. So we're going to look at some preliminary data, and then I'll talk with you about the creation of the app, sort of the logistics of how much it entailed, the recruitment and the pilot testing of the app itself, and then sort of what we found. Okay, so we actually received data from PHFE WIC on, over 177,000 individual users of online education between 2011 and 2014. And these are the participants who accessed their online nutrition education system. And what we found that was that it nearly quadrupled, and specifically, internet browser use actually dramatically increased and peaked around 2013. But similarly, around that same time, what we saw was an increase in the number of people who are using smartphones to access. And so if you look at the graph here, what we see is that the grand total, which is the purple line, overall it increased dramatically and it's sort of plateauing over the years. But then within that, you see in the green, that's people who are accessing online nutrition education using computers, so the internet browser. It peaked around 2013, but it went down. And then simultaneously around that time, you see people are beginning to access online nutrition education using either their Apple mobile phone or the Android phones. And so with the drop in internet browser access, there was an increase in the number of people who were accessing it using smartphones. And so that follows national trend in terms of the Pew Research Center, showing that people are using smartphones more and more. So with that information, we decided to pilot this project with the creation of an app. Logistically, it took a lot of time. I'm not tech savvy, but luckily I had a very talented undergraduate student who is a nutrition major, but was not only creative, but also very tech savvy. So that's an incredible set of skills all in one individual. So she actually developed this app, and then we piloted it within a year. So she did it using ApiPi, which is sort of a do-it-yourself app building software. We adapted the sugary beverages lesson from the PHFE WIC online lesson. And we created a platform for developing the videos as well as the content. The hardest part, I would say, in terms of this project was actually getting the approval from both the Android and the Google Play stores. It took us over 2 months to go through that whole approval process. It was very tedious, and the problem was that they don't tell us that we have to do that up front. They told us that as we were uploading the app, that we have to go through this whole approval process. Had we known, we would have started a whole lot earlier. So those are some of the challenges of first-time app developers. So just that whole process altogether took us about 6 months. Now, I'm going to show you a few pictures of the app itself, but basically what we did in terms of the lesson, the content of the lesson, was a combination of text and video. And we embedded several videos that were about 3 minutes long, and a lot of these were created using the iMovie, and then it was coded using Adobe Muse to actually get it onto the ApiPi website. Okay, so this is the front page of what the app looks like. And here you can see a combination of both text to reinforce the lesson information, but as well, a video that, you know, were about roughly 3 minutes long. And our experience when we were trying this with some students on campus was that about 3 minutes is people's range of, attention span. So that's what we kind of stayed with, short videos to the point. So with the development of the app, we actually went out and recruited participants at one WIC location to see how this would work. Would it be even received at all? Would they even like it? So we recruited about 140 participants from the Inglewood WIC Clinic. And we ended up with 45 who completed the study, both the pre and the post, so about 32% acceptance rate. We administered a pre-post survey in between the time that, you know, so they do a pre-post, a pre-survey, they do the app study, and then we administered the post survey. And all of this was using SurveyMonkey, so everything was embedded in the app itself. And then we were able to extract data from SurveyMonkey. So we had, you know, basic demographic data, technology use questions, preference for the app, and then knowledge questions, and then behavior change. Okay, so let me talk about just our population. So not much different than what is typical of our WIC participant population. So, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know, here the formatting kind of came out different, but so our participants on average were about 30 years old, about 42% Latino. I'm really sorry, all the arrangements here kind of are lopsided, or like it's off. So I'll just read it off to you. Majority of our participants have either some college or above in terms of education. They self-selected, so as you can see. And then in terms of employment, about half were working. And we had about half who were overweight or obese. Okay. This is information on in terms of usage pattern. About 82% of them reported that they had a computer in their home. And then in terms of the type of smartphone they used, about 40% had Androids, but more than half were Apple product users. 84% had never done the online education prior to the time that we asked them to do this. Okay. Now, when we asked them in terms of their feedback on the use of the app itself, they found that it was fairly easy to use. About 64% found that it took them less than 15 minutes to go through the lesson. Was the lesson too easy, just right, or too hard? We found that it was about just right. And was the lesson helpful to learn nutrition concepts? And about 87% said it was very useful or very helpful. Okay. So we asked two questions in terms of just pre-post knowledge. And, for the first one, all sugar sweetened beverages have the same amount of sugar was statistically significant from pre-post. There's a difference between natural sugar and added sugar, a slight increase in terms of their knowledge, not statistically significant. Now, we asked one question about intention to change behavior because, again, this was not focused on looking at behavior changes, just primarily piloting this app itself. And from the lesson, do you plan to make changes to what type of drink you choose? And 47%, almost half, said that they are planning to make changes. The other 51% said that they are considering making changes. Now, what was interesting was actually we went out among the 45 who completed the lesson. We did focus groups with them to see their response to the app itself. And so we conducted two focus groups with 12 participants, and we wanted to basically get their feedback. We wanted to qualitatively assess the impact of the lesson on their knowledge, and then finally we wanted to look at whether it led to any behavior or intention to change behavior. So these are some of the quotes that we got. They said, I like the app lesson. It is just more convenient. I have a Samsung S5, and I look for everything using an app. Another participant, I think this is very confirmatory in terms of our millennials who are also WIC participants, is keeping up with the times. That's where we are now. Everyone uses apps. A third person said, I like the app because it's easier to hear and watch the videos. I like the option of being able to watch the videos and do it on the go. The videos were very helpful because I didn't know that there were that many teaspoons of sugar in sodas. So I think for the visual learners, it was very useful for them. Okay, so did it actually impact behavior? So this is where we qualitatively asked them, what was the impact of the lesson on them? And these are actually very, very telling. So one woman said, prior to the lesson, if my older son wanted soda, I'm not saying all the time, but I would let him have some. But now that I know all the sugar and stuff, I'm like, maybe we're going to have to start choosing some other things. Another mom said, I think about it when I'm driving. I pull into the grocery store. Oh, sorry, that should be store. Capri Suns are bad. What am I going to get? Oh, yeah, it was helpful. Another woman said, I can say from the videos after watching it, I have decreased the amount my children and myself take in from it because I'm more conscious of it. So what we're seeing, but I can say now I drink less than when I did prior to seeing the videos, especially knowing all that sugar that is in it. And what we found overall was definitely participants were very receptive. And these are our younger participants, the millennials who are on the go, busy, who have mobile phones, who want to be able to do the lessons at home in the comfort of their own time and space. They found that it was very easy to use, appropriate level of difficulty, it was visually engaging. I think definitely this is sort of the YouTube visual generation. So I think having the videos that were embedded in there were very helpful for teaching and reinforcing nutrition concepts. Participants demonstrated increased knowledge and some level of intention. And again, this is qualitative stuff that we looked at. And these were confirmed in our focus groups. And so I think the overall idea is that there is potential for an app in terms of the wave of the future for nutrition education. It's easier to access. It goes directly to the lesson itself. Our pilot did not specifically look at a lot of issues around improved knowledge, because the primary purpose was actually the development of this app itself. So we'll probably have to do a larger study to see the impact. Overall, I think we would say that this exploratory pilot study found that participants are definitely very receptive to the idea of an app. Currently, different WIC agencies throughout the country have different apps, not for nutrition education per se, but for example, accessing the RD's calendar, looking at schedules for WIC. So there are different kinds of WIC apps, but there's not one specifically for nutrition education. So this is the first in its kind. Developing an app for the WIC program may provide a useful alternate platform for delivering nutrition education, particularly if we're looking at serving this new millennial generation who are a lot more mobile. And because WIC reaches so many women, more than half of the births in this country, we think that this is a vital opportunity in terms of being able to be at the forefront of cutting-edge nutrition education and improving the health of lower-income women. So thank you so much.